Let it in, surrender. Let it in, surrender. Let it in, surrender. Honor all you need to let it go.
Hey there, loves. It's Nitika Chopra here, your host for the Point of Pain podcast. This is your chance to sink into a safe space where we explore the highs and the lows of life and the pain that comes along with it, hopefully in a way that truly gets us through our most challenging moments. Today, I have somebody on the podcast that I have been girl crushing over, fangirling over, all of the things for a long time now. It feels like forever, but I know I just probably came in connection with her over the last couple of years through one of her brands. The woman I'm talking about is Katie Wilcox, who is the founder of Natural Model Management and also the digital community Healthy is the New Skinny. She's somebody that I look up to so much, even though she's younger than me, which I feel like I say a lot. There's a lot of young, beautiful, amazingly powerful women out there. But she's someone I look up to because she just has this unapologetic way of speaking out about the truth. And I feel like when I am nervous to bust through the patriarchy or bust through my ancestral conditioning and talk about the things that I know to be true in a public way, I look to her often because she's doing that every single day, multiple times a day. And she does it with such beauty and grace. And also there's tremendous empathy and compassion, which I really respect about her. So Katie, you know, she's the founder, as I said, and the CEO actually of Natural Model Management and Healthy is the New Skinny. Using her 15 years of experience in the modeling industry as a curve model, Katie strives to change the game of body image by giving people the tools to challenge the beauty ideal implemented by the media. So she founded Healthy is the New Skinny in 2011. It began as an online blog, and over the years, it transformed into a clothing brand and social media campaign that promotes positive body image and lifestyles for women all over the world. It's been featured in lots of publications, including Fox News, People Magazine, The New York Post. You know, she parlayed all of this success into creating a really beautiful public platform for herself as well. In addition to being a model in the industry, she does a ton of public speaking, and she also ended up writing a book, which is titled Healthy is the New Skinny, Your Guide to Self-Love in a Picture-Perfect World. And picture-perfect is in quotes because things are not always perfect. And on this episode of The Point of Pain, we talk about so much. We talked about the modeling industry, and also we talked about the fake, crappy, you know, not so fun side of the wellness industry and how people are trying to push gurus and, you know, leaders onto us when they're actually not in integrity in their own lives and they're selling things and not helping the marginalized and the people that really need the help. We go there in this episode. We really uncover things that, honestly, because of her, I feel more able to speak about these things, but things that I've had a hard time articulating over the years. We talked about boundaries and how she learned about boundaries through the way she grew up and, you know, being the child of a woman who is incredibly strong and smart and who happened to also be a single mom. We go there. We talk about everything. She gave us good book recommendations. So this podcast is really beautifully laced with tons of knowledge and wisdom from Katie. And I just am so honored. And I feel like it's such a deep pleasure and privilege to bring this conversation to you. So without further ado, here is The Point of Pain with Katie Wilcox. So Katie, thank you so much for joining me. I feel like I'm going to be smiling from ear to ear the entire time we're talking because I am so freaking pumped that you're on my show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I have been a fan of yours, which I feel is like such a strange thing to even say these days because the whole conversation around like idolizing people and putting people on pedestals and all of that is such a tricky thing. But with you, I just feel like I look up to you so much with what you're doing and the grace and the strength and the beauty in which you talk about things. It's so mind-blowing. If you're going to be a fan of anyone, I feel like it should be you.
Because well, that's a huge compliment. Thank you very much. And like my whole approach to things, and you know, I'm like, don't have a problem like voicing my thoughts on things. But I think the issue is that like you can be a fan of people's like spirit or personality or like what they stand for, or just even, you know, them as people. But I think it's more about receiving like the information, you know? And I think that's the part that we get confused, is to be like, oh, I love that person because of the thing, great things they say, or they're talented at this, or they inspire me this way, instead of like, I want to be that person. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's the difference of what happens with like this industry and with social media and like the egos that get fed in the spiritual world. Like it's all across the board of, oh, I'm here to bless everyone with me being me. And you're like, oh my God, let's all get off the high horse. We're all just trying to live. That's really amazing when like people say like they're inspired by me or they look up to me. I really like, I think that's so awesome. But all I would want from that is that they're able to make their lives better, not think that I'm above them or like I know something they don't know. You know, it's more about, oh, she inspires me to live my life in a way that feels good for me and not care what other people think about it. Like that's like the best compliment ever. Which I've gotten a lot, which people are like, you're just like you are in real life as you are on Instagram. And I'm like, okay, then I'm doing something right.
Well, you really are. I mean, you really are. And I think that's why I'm like kind of unapologetic about how much of a girl crush I have on you, because I feel like, because I really do feel that way. I feel like I've tried to navigate, you know, this whole social media world. And I also don't really believe in having these like gurus that you put on a pedestal that make you feel less than. But then I came across Healthy is the New Skinny, you know, which is a huge platform that you created. And I was like, who is this girl? You know, and I just felt like every post, I was like, yes, yes. Oh my God, this makes me feel good. You know, and then I started to learn about you and I started following you individually, and I feel the exact same way about every post you put out. So it is this really conscious choice that I'm making where I'm like, no, I am actually a fan of Katie because she is like the real deal and she makes me feel good about myself and makes me feel empowered. So
that's awesome.
I know this like total love fest, but I
but we didn't even share how we actually met. So yeah. We became Insta friends because you wrote an article that included me in it.
Yes.
I shared it. And then I was speaking in New York at the CurvyCon and met you there. And then there was a bunch of really great women that we were all talking to. And then we all went to lunch after. And that was so much fun. I had such a great time. And then we realized that we're both like cuckoo birds.
Yeah. Spiritual weirdos, really.
We're spiritual weirdos. And I was like, oh my God, yes, there's another one that's like hiding in plain sight that now I can like bond with about aliens or something.
Oh my God. No, I know. This is so funny because I'm having this thought in my head where I'm like, see, guys, we're talking about the point of pain, but there's like so many levels. Like we're having so much fun while we're also going to be discussing real stuff. That was like life changing for me in so many ways. One, because I met you and I was just so in awe of you, but then also, the way you spoke at the CurvyCon really touched me and also inspired me as a speaker myself. I was like, oh my God, I have so much to learn about really impacting people with these challenging conversations in a way that's tangible. Because I feel like so many times these conversations can feel very esoteric and you do such a wonderful job of making them very tangible. But also the fact that you like hung out with us afterwards.
Yeah.
I remember telling you, I was like, so you're not like freaked out or like have to guard your energy, like hanging out with random people who are just obsessed with you on the internet. I don't understand.
No, not at all. That's what I mean. It's like where I go to speak attracts like-minded people, you know? Mm. And it's like, that's the whole reason you're there, is to make those connections and to have those conversations. And sometimes in the big group setting, people are much more closed off than the smaller setting, you know? So it's like, paying attention to the people that really make an effort to come up and talk after, like those are usually the ones that like are really, really passionate, or they really need some kind of like connection or whatever it is. You don't really know. It's just like acknowledging people and you came there to hear me speak, like, why wouldn't I spend the time to be like, oh, let's go grab a salad together or whatever. It's like, we're already there. We're already all going to go eat. Why not have more of a community? And I think like, that's kind of back to what we were talking about with this like whole, I'm above people, or like, you know, I'm being paid to be here for my 5 minutes and then I'm gone. You know, it's like, wait, this is, if you're really a genuine teacher and you want to say like healer, whatever kind of work you do, it's about the people. It's not about the paycheck. So I think to me, that's more about like, hey, if these people are sharing with me, why wouldn't I take the extra hour to go and like get to know them and thank them for like spending their time listening to what I have to say. So it just makes sense to me. I like love that part of it. And then we stay friends. Like that's what's really cool, is you make these connections with people for such a short period of time, but it has such like a lasting effect long term, and it didn't cost anything but time, you know? So I think more people should do those kinds of things. And it's also why I don't do like master classes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's not to knock people who are, I just think there are a lot of pyramid scheme stuff going on out there that, you know, I actually was like, got invited to speak at one recently, but I didn't know that's what it was.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I was one of many speakers, but I'm like listening to the main person talking. And I'm like, this is just weird what's going on here. Like the vibe was off. It was all about stuff you can buy, like, oh, look at what I've built for myself, and showing pictures of houses. And it was weird because it was like guilt-based. It was like, don't you want to be able to work from home and actually raise your kids? Like, it was just really awful. And I see all of this kind of stuff. And I think that's what gives me a unique perspective to have such strong opinions on social media, because I'm in the fashion industry. I've been in like kind of this like spiritual teacher community, authors, like I've gotten to see behind the curtain of a lot of different curtains. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of substance there. So that's why I speak very openly about being a genuine person and making those connections and sharing your message in an authentic, genuine way. So I choose to give it because I'm able to make money doing other things. And I'm very fortunate to do that. So I don't need to monetize that aspect, which has been a really great gift. So I'm just happy to like share it.
Oh my God. You just opened up a huge can of worms, Katie, because seriously, yeah. I'm like, one of the things that I am, you know, ferociously passionate about is just the privilege that I see. And I know you talk about this so well. I feel like one of the things that you talked about in one of the many posts of yours that I saw, I think you were talking about, you know, the conversation around having another child, because you do have a beautiful angel daughter named Drew.
Yeah.
Just so lovely, even when she's throwing a tantrum at the park, which you just posted about the other day, which like melted my heart. But you know, you talked about having another child and like how that's actually a lot of times a huge privilege just based on the medical bills alone. And I honestly, it stopped me in my tracks because, you know, I've been very public about the fact that I'm actually not going to have children because of my chronic illnesses and just life choices that I've decided to make for my own body and my own health. But I know people out there who, you know, paying for their medication to survive is a privilege. I had no idea that having a child was such a privilege in that way.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that a little bit and like the privilege of this there?
You know, the way our system is set up is just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, you want to encourage people, just like when you're raising a child, to make good decisions, and to, especially when you're going to bring a life to earth, to make sure that you can care for it financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, like all of the ways to make sure this person can be like a functioning, happy, healthy person. So for my husband and I, like what we're talking about specifically, like we planned it. Like we always said, like we wouldn't have kids if we couldn't afford it. Cause you know, we've had our business now for 8 years, but before that we were in, you know, a normal apartment in Hollywood with a roommate, like everyone else. And we were like, gosh, I just like, it didn't seem like it was in the cards. Like we didn't know what we were going to do. We had enough to live comfortably as two people, but not to like have a family and all of their financial, you know, responsibilities. So when we started our business and things started going well, like we really started to see like our government makes it next to impossible to like make it as a small business, let alone going, oh, now you have to buy your own insurance. You know, you're jumping through all these hoops, and we get to where we have to pay for the most expensive insurance plan just to have like our coverage in case something goes wrong for pregnancy. It was 100% planned. And then we still paid about $10,000 afterwards, after a couple thousand dollars a month in our insurance. That was our total bill. So, I mean, just to even have her was, you know, probably around $15,000 to $20,000 over the course of the time. Now you add in like caring for her and like all of those other things. So that's being a responsible person. You're like, okay. And obviously things happen in life, but that's the whole point, is that when we're conscious, like we make decisions for ourselves. Like, so we were watching a show last night. I don't know if you guys watch this show, but my husband and I are obsessed with it. I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit it, but it's called 90 Day Fiance. And I can't, it's like,
oh, I've seen that. I haven't actually watched it, but I've seen it on TV. Like I've passed by it.
It's such a good case study. Like if you start watching it, you won't be able to stop watching it, 'cause you're like, this can't be real. One of the girls had met a guy one time and had gotten pregnant. Like then he moved, you know, they're in the 90 days, they have to get married. She just finds out that she's pregnant again. She had her baby and she's like pregnant again. And she's like crying, and she doesn't have a job and he can't work. And I'm going, how does that happen? And my husband and I are laughing, because she was like saying in the interviews, well, he got me pregnant. Like you got me pregnant. And we're like, this takes two people. Like this isn't like a one person thing. So all of this is connected when it comes to like privilege and pain and all of these things. It affects our decision-making and putting ourselves in positions to thrive, and to consciously go, I'm not in a position to thrive or to care for another soul or person or human being. And it's 100% okay to be like, so I'm not going to make that decision. Like what you're saying, like, I think that's the most empowering thing. I have many female friends who've decided not to have kids, and I like thank them. I'm like, thank you so much for like being so connected to yourself and knowing that you just don't feel like that's in your cards. Because I think there are a lot of people who, one, don't want kids, that have them and don't treat them properly or have the love or the, you know, the means to care for them. And I think that's a bigger problem. But on top of all of it, or to say like with your situation, you've got a lot going on that you're managing. So then to add in a whole other person that now is priority, is that fair to you to be able to manage all that you're managing, which is more than the average person? So I think all of that comes back to this whole idea of like, how do we make those decisions? Are we in a place where that's going to be something that we can do? Do we have the privilege to do that? If not, and we still want to be parents, can we adopt? Can we foster? Can we do these things? And that's like next on our plate, is we're going to start the process to foster and adopt, because having True really opened up our eyes to like how much I love her. Like I love her so much.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even describe it. But at the same time, it made me so sad to think that there are, you know, 600,000 kids in foster care in LA County alone don't have anyone to love them. And I'm like, I'll love you. Like, it's just this weird thing. I'm like, I'll be your mom. Come over here. Like, so that's just how I feel about kids. It doesn't have to be my own. So that's been like a really cool experience, and also gives me perspective to what we talk about in that whole like privilege arena, to be like, oh, well, I'm the one on stage teaching something, but how much am I giving? Am I here for me, or am I here to give back? And how does it extend off of the stage, where it's not just, oh, I can be a good performer and I can put on a good show? How am I living that in my everyday life? So those are all things that I'm really like, I've learned a lot from becoming a mom, from doing these different things, and just try to be as grounded and normal as possible, regardless of like some of the extraordinary things I get to do.
Oh my God, I have so many questions. This is insanely amazing.
And as you can tell, I talk a lot. So just cut me off at any
point. No, I love it. I'm like, okay, I've asked literally one of the questions that I have on my list, because
that's what I'm saying. It's going to be a 9-hour podcast.
No. No, because I literally could talk to you for 75 hours. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't even, yeah. Okay. I need to calm down. Okay. So my first question in response to everything that you just said, I want to know, how did you learn to speak up the way that you do? What was it like in your family? Is that where you learned it? Is it because it wasn't allowed in your family? Like, can you tell us a little bit about like how you became this way and like who you are?
It's always been who I am. Like, it's just me. And I do think there's a lot, like, I don't know, when you talk about like indigo spirits and stuff like that, for those of you who are listening or think I'm a cuckoo bird, I'll explain it. So it's just like a different kind of wave of energy of different kinds of kids that are more confident in like what they believe and know the difference between right and wrong. And if you think about it, like we really have seen that wave come in creating social change, you know, in our society across the spectrum. I just have always known who I was and stood up for that. And my grandmother is raised Irish Catholic and is very much like kids don't have a say and they don't know anything. And so I think I was like partially born just to challenge her because like we always went at it. And I would be like, I just felt like I always should have had an opinion. Like even when I was little, we would go back and forth with that. And I remember one time she got my two cousins. So there's three of us girls that are around the same age. For Christmas, she had gotten them like matching gloves or something and then gotten me something else. And I was like, well, how come I didn't get the same thing that they got? Like you interpret these messages a lot. Mm-hmm. She would just treat them differently. And my mom said I was probably like four. And I went up to her and I was like, why don't you love me as much as you love them? And my grandma was like, oh, well, don't be ridiculous. Like my mom like looked at her and was like, answer the question. And she's like, well, that's not true. Like I just,
you knew.
If I see it, then I never had a problem being like, hey, why is this way? And when it comes to, you know, the things I talk about, especially recently, I've just been talking a lot about all these articles that I've been seeing about women and kids that are constantly being abused and there's being no punishment. Like when it comes to jail time, when it comes to all these things, like these men are just getting off left and right. And it just sends such a, like a profound message that you don't matter, you know? And so I speak very openly about those things, especially when it's connected to different church institutions who support that. I just think that's not okay. And I think that right now I just am in a comfortable space where I'm like, I'm not saying anything that isn't the truth. And if it makes people uncomfortable, that's usually a good thing because I receive so many messages from people thanking me for actually saying some of the things. And I'll give you an example. I don't know if you saw this, but the one recently, like it really upset me, which was a priest of the Catholic Church was giving a funeral for a 15-year-old boy who had committed suicide and repeatedly was saying during the funeral to his family at the service that he wasn't going to heaven because he committed suicide. And it said the dad was like, I had to ask him to stop saying that. And I was like, that is so cruel.
And yeah,
the opposite of what any creator would want. And it just really upsets me that you would cause someone's family who's hurting so much, that much more pain. Like, I want to speak on those things because like you said, people are in pain, they're already suffering. And unfortunately, a lot of these institutions that we've been made to believe are our safe place haven't been. A lot of the messaging has been turned into business, has been turned into all these other things. And we lose sight of the love that's supposed to be there for all of these people. So I don't have a problem speaking about those things because I know what's true. I know that that isn't the case. And I have love for that family who's suffering. So all the messages that I was sent were, I was like, wow, like this is crazy because it'd be like, oh, my dad committed suicide or my sister or my brother. And like the church told me this too. And it was so devastating. And I'm just like reading all of these stories of this pain. That's the problem. Where do we go when the places that we're told is where God is are turning us away?
Mm.
That's devastating. And it's just a lie. So I think it's just for me, I've just reached a point where I don't care, which is a great place to be.
Yep.
And I got a really long message, not even about that one. I thought I would get like, you know, I get like these crazy messages from people who have like a strong reaction to me and some of the things that I say. Mostly it's really positive. The other day I did get this really long email, like seriously, it was like 2 pages long, just going off about when I did a story about spiritual teachers on Instagram, which even makes me laugh talking about it. The fact that we're like spiritual teachers on Instagram. The whole point of this conversation is that what I'm trying to get people to understand is you can pretend to be anything. That's what the whole foundation of Instagram is. It's setting up a persona of yourself to be validated. So it's really easy to create these characters of yourself. And especially when I've seen what we can do with just photographs for models, like I've seen girls walk in and you're like, oh, maybe. And then once it's hair and makeup and styling and lighting and then editing, and you see this finished product and you're like, oh my God, that is not the same person that's sitting right here. But if you only see that finished product, you believe that that's what that person is, you know? And that's how scary that is, especially when it's coming to talking and convincing people like, here's your answers. And so I'm just really want people who are listening to know that you have your answers already. And if there's anything I can do, it's just to help you believe that you have your answers. It's not to have my answers. My answers are different probably because my circumstances are different. My experience is different. My personality is different. And that's 100% okay. And I think that's kind of where we're at is we've always been taught we need to all fit in the same box. And we're not created to be in the same space. So having the freedom and confidence to go, I'm just going to be myself and do my own thing and believe what feels right to me and be as happy and joyful and living like a good life that I can. The rest outside of that is just noise. And you can choose to tune that out if you want to. So that's really like what it comes down to and what I try to teach.
Yeah, it's so interesting because even just listening to you, you know, for myself, I mean, I don't know about people who are listening. I know I have a lot of entrepreneurs and people who are doing their own things on Instagram or have their own goals to be leaders as well. And I know for me, something I've been really struggling with is like, you know, I talk to the chronic illness community and I'm always trying to share like, this is what I'm doing today, you know, for my health. And people are constantly messaging me asking like how to heal them or like not for me to heal them, but like, how do they heal themselves, you know, or like, what do I take or what do I do? And I have to be honest, I get so overwhelmed by messages like that because I just feel like, I don't know. Like you, like I never claimed to know. I've been a patient for 27 years and I'm just telling you what I've been doing that's like making me feel better in this moment.
Right.
Never claiming to be like, I figured it out. And I think that's why when you start talking about, you know, the spiritual communities and these conferences that you go to where people are claiming these major goals that they had, that they achieved and they came from nothing. And then all of a sudden they're, you know, healthy and rich and married and all the things. And I'm just like, it makes me so angry.
It's just false.
Yeah.
Like they say all those things, but then they're always selling you something, right? Like, so it's not like, look at this great thing I figured out and I want you to have this as well because this is something that belongs to all of us. Mm. It's look at what I have. And if you just tried harder, you could have it too. And for the small fee of $5,000, you could have it, right?
At least, if not like $50,000.
That's what I'm saying. And what really upsets me is when really good, honest people get caught in that web because what it is these people that figure it out are just car salesmen. They can sell ice to an Eskimo. Like that's a very good skill. And I can spot it a mile away because it's what I study. I'm around it. I could do that if I chose to. I have the ability. My husband would be 1,000 times better than me. That's why when we make jokes that we could start a cult, we're being serious because it's hilarious because we totally could. If we had no conscience and if our sole purpose was to manipulate people and to make money, I could do that in a heartbeat. That's why I say those things is not to be like, oh, I'm so good at this. But that people who are in pain, who are really searching for a way out, are easily manipulated because they don't have their answers. And when anyone presents themselves in a really shiny, beautiful way that is like, oh, this is what you've been looking for, and all you have to do is A, B, and C, it's really easy to sway people that way without them realizing that that's false, you know, because you don't need to do that. Now, here's where the email that I got was saying about that when I had talked about these people, because there was specifically a video on Instagram that made my husband and I crack up laughing because it was this guy and he was like running a spiritual page and it was a video. And he literally said like to the camera, see, it makes me laugh right now. He was like, whenever life is giving you roadblocks, just say out loud to the universe, don't disrespect me like that, universe. And I was like, oh my God, like this is just like the biggest,
painful.
It's just fluff. She was upset that I said that because obviously anytime someone has that strong of a reaction to you, it's triggering something in themselves that, you know, you're like mirroring to them. And I totally understand that. So I think it's this idea where she was saying, well, like all of us have to start somewhere and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, so you want to be a spiritual teacher? And like, you felt I was saying like, you don't have any, you know, I'm not validating that in you or whatever that might be. But the thing is where we're all being misguided in our teaching is that we're not practicing what we teach. Like most people that I say this with air quotes because it's just like their interpretation, are inspired by me, are just watching my day-to-day life of me being me. I'm not really doing anything other than just being like myself. Very few people have actually been to a seminar that I've been speaking at. So it's this idea that, oh, I have to be on a big main stage in order to make an impact. But my impact has come from, you know, me showing my daughter and I dancing in the kitchen to Adam Levine's song, A Girl Like You, that she calls True Yeah Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that video too.
She, every time we're in the kitchen, she's like, True Yeah Yeah? That's what she thinks the name of it is. And, you know, just like day-to-day stuff. And then going, hey, this came up. Here's my thoughts on that. And this is what I think. And it's okay if you unfollow me. Like all of those lessons are teaching people to feel good about themselves just because I'm just doing it for myself. I'm not intending to be teaching. I'm just leading by example. And if it benefits you, that's great. If not, I'm still doing it because it's my life. Yeah. So I think that's the difference, is that you don't have to think that you need to have a huge following or that you need to have, like, you know, a PR team and you need to have a top selling book. Like all that's BS anyway. Yeah. Which I've come to find out. Like, if you know that, I didn't even know that becoming an author with the New York Times bestseller, like that whole thing's like a sham too.
I know. I found that out like last year.
See, it's like every single thing you think like matters is like completely a scam. I'm like, so once all that kind of presented itself to me, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people who genuinely make the New York Times bestseller list, but what Katie's referring to, for those of you who don't know, is a lot of people who are new authors hire consultants to get them to buy the right amount of books to, you know, be able to make it on the list at the, you know, right exact time when their book comes out. So it's not actually genuinely on the list, but they figured out a way to rig the system.
Yeah. Or they, like, if they're working with, you know, doing
like a talk or something.
Yeah. Doing talks. Yeah. They have the person buy a ton of the books and like give them away just so they can get the numbers on there. It's like a very, but that comes back to like, what does that title give you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I just am really at that place for myself to be like, being kind of held under the title of model for so long. Like so many girls want that title. And I'm like, what does that title give you?
Yeah.
Like if I can come in this room and go, okay, you're a model. Now you're a model. Yes, you're a model now. Like, how does it change anything for you just in how you see that? And I think that's one thing that I've learned is we keep thinking we need to have more and we need to have, well, that's not good enough now. Now I need to be a New York bestseller. Oh, well, that's not good enough now. Now I need to have my own TV show and that's not good enough now. I need to have 50 million followers. You're like, all of that's just a trap. Because it's always not enough. So it's never about the lesson. It's never about you living. It's always about needing to prove yourself more and get more money, more validation, more attention. Now it's just all about ego, you know? And it's, I realized that and I just chose to opt out. I was like, I want to be happy. I was like, I don't want to work all to where I'm like obligated every day to something. Like I want to still be able to hang with my family and do all these things. And so that's kind of the shift that happens just into like gratitude where you're like, cool. Like, I just want to help people.
Yeah.
And if you can kind of be in that space, really great things start happening for you. It's like really cool.
It is really cool. And I think something that I really respect about you and I want to talk about a little bit more is that I feel that there's this sense of, and I'm making this up, so tell me if I'm wrong, but from just watching you from afar, I feel like there's a sense of compartmentalization almost, like where you go to the brands and you have this amazing modeling agency, Natural Model Management, and you do things with brands on a large scale and you get fulfilled like financially and creatively possibly through that. But then you're constantly being of service alongside of that. And I think that's kind of what you were mentioning, right? Like you're not charging me $5,000 to talk to you, which like a lot of people would. You're like, no, come have a salad with me after my talk. But then you're doing an Old Navy campaign, you know? And so it's like, I try to be that way too. I try to work with brands a lot so that I don't have to charge people a lot to work with me because I feel like there's so many people suffering out there that actually need help and it's not right for me to do that. But I feel like a lot of people don't understand that path and don't like feel that it's possible because they're so underneath their own circumstances. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. It's like three parts. So I think because I have income to make sure like I have my bills paid, right? So that gives me freedom to be on social media for something other than making money. I don't monetize Healthy is the New Skinny's account on Instagram at all. I won't take any paid posts for that account because I just want it to be authentic. And I feel like, you know, we have to acknowledge anytime we are working with advertisers that it's not always going to be 100% authentic. We're saying, no, they paid me to say this. And just so you know, they actually tell you what to say.
They do.
They do. They'll send you a whole breakdown and you're like, oh my God, will you please just let me say what I wanted to say? And then they'll be like, yeah, can you say this? And you're like, oh my God, whatever.
No, okay. If they just let us say what we want to say, it'd be so much better. I know.
So much better. It's so frustrating.
I know.
Because sometimes the products are really great, but they don't always allow you to have an honest conversation about it because there's a lot of things that I would love to like go more in depth with. To be like, hey, I love this. This piece they sent me didn't fit my body that well, but this piece was really great. Like if you notice, everything on social media is like so amazing. Everyone loves the product. Their product's their favorite product, and they promote 900 products a week. And every product's their favorite product. We have to acknowledge that anytime we're working with advertisers, it's not always going to be sincere. I do my best, and I know that you do your best to only work with companies that you actually like or use their product.
Totally.
And you'll see me like wearing the stuff. I did a thing with New Balance and I literally work out in the shoes every day. And now they're like torn to shreds because I actually love them that much. So those are the things that I just have chosen to make personal decisions that anyone listening, I think that you should also be very conscious about not being a walking ad because you're taking advantage of your community and your followers that are there because they like you. So it's all about respect of your community and saying, how do we balance the fact that we need to make a living so that we can do the things we genuinely love to do that we are able to give more? And I think we kind of have this pipe dream, and I do call it a pipe dream, of I can quit my normal job and then I can turn my passion project into my $1 million dream job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's being sold to everyone.
Yeah.
And that's just not realistic because... And I'm not trying to burst any bubbles, not saying it can't happen.
No, totally.
But owning a modeling agency, I thought was like, when I started, I was like, oh, I'm going to change the industry. I was 25, so I was super naive. Now that I'm in it, it's a business, right? Like, so I can only control how I choose to run our business. So we always pay our models on time. That's a big problem in the industry is like companies don't pay. So we just have a different code of ethics of how we speak to girls and work with girls. And we choose to run things a little bit differently, but I can't control what the industry is going to do as a whole. So I've taken what I can control and to be an ethical, good person into the company I've created. But to be honest with you, like owning a modeling agency is not my passion. Like it doesn't fulfill me in any way. It's working with...
It's a job.
Yeah, it's a job. And I'm good at it. And we've built something wonderful that now allows me to have my passion project and to go out and to give more, like we said. So the idea that we can quit that and just make money giving to people doesn't really make sense because the people that need the most don't have the money. That's a sad reality. Like that's why there's a ton of nonprofits. That's why there's people doing everything they can to help those in need. They're not the ones that are going to pay the $5,000 to $10,000 thing like we were just, you know, discussing.
Yeah.
We have to be realistic to say it's okay to have a job that's just a job, right?
Yeah.
That's life. Like we got to pay our bills. And if you're in a job, you can still enjoy the job you have. Like I still enjoy my job. Mm-hmm. It's just not like I wake up every day and I'm like, I'm so fulfilled by this. Like I'm good at it. I have skill sets that I use. I can be creative. Like it's great. You know, it works out perfectly for my lifestyle. I don't hate it. Like all of those things are fine. That's kind of what jobs are. But where I get super fulfilled and passionate is when I get to do these other things that I really care about. And to be authentic in that space, you have to have your bills paid elsewhere. Because if you're solely relying on that to pay your bills, again, it's like advertising on Instagram, right? Like if I only have an Instagram to pay my bills, I don't really care about my followers there because I need to pay my bills and I got to turn my lights on, right? So it changes your intention behind why you're doing something. And over time, if your intention is I have to continue to monetize what I'm trying to teach, it's going to change your message. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a realistic view of it. Now, in the scheme of life, are some people really good at manifesting opportunities that where they can find a happy balance of all of these things? Absolutely. Is that the majority? Probably not. So I think that it's okay. I just want to give people that like validation and permission to be like, look, that might not even be all of our skill sets. Like, why do we think it's a bad thing to have a 9-to-5 job? I feel like that's being portrayed as like you haven't done enough, you know? And it's just not true. Like, you can do great things with that amount of time at work. And then, hey, what are you going to do with your other free time? How else can you give back and contribute in a meaningful way? So I think it's all about looking at what your skill sets are, finding what feels right for you. And I think a lot of people know internally when something doesn't feel right, but we're not trained to listen to that intuition. So it didn't feel right for me to charge people, probably because I don't need the money, right? So for me to charge means that now it's just excess and I'm just taking from people. And it didn't feel right for me. Now that can be completely different for other people. Like I said, this is just my experience. So one of the things that I have done in my goals for 2019 is how can I give more? Because I feel like I've just been so lucky to have this great life and daughter and husband. Like I have like so many awesome blessings. I'm like, how can I just give more? It makes me feel good. And I want to like share that. So we're doing coming up with ideas to go, okay, we wanted for anyone listening who wants to join us and you as well.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to do a 90-day workout challenge broken up into 30-day segments, and there's $100 buy-in. So you're like, ooh, $100 buy-in, but all of it's going to go to charity. So we're thinking anything that's going to do with kids, we think it's really important. So we're figuring out which one, but so it's like through that, we're going to give free lessons, like video lessons, like body image based. I'm working with a trainer who's going to give like nutrition lessons and free exercises and kind of like just be your personal coach. All of it's going to be free. It's like $100 buy-in, but all of it's going to charity. So I was like, wow, that's so cool because it gives me an opportunity to teach what I love to teach. It gives people something value for their $100. That's still like a cheap price. And it's going to help people that really need it. So it's a win-win for everyone involved. And it's all of us sharing the wealth. And so we're calling it a labor of love.
Oh,
because working out is a labor of love.
Yes.
Like sweating, taking care of yourself is a labor of love. It's hard. But when you do it, you feel so much better. And when we help others in need, that's also a labor of love. Like, so it's really connecting the dots between receiving and giving and caring for ourselves and caring for our community. And I don't think us as a whole have connected all those dots yet. They're one at a time. So yeah. if we can get a healthy flow through that in ourselves, in the passion that we have and in the work we do, where we're constantly receiving, we're constantly giving and like being inspired as the energy flows through all of it, that's where we'll like find our happy balance, where we feel morally good about our decisions. We feel like we are helping people and we can still pay our bills so that it gives us the freedom to continue our work.
Oh, I love that all so much, Katie, because what I was hearing and everything that you're saying, it was reminding me of, you know, when I started my company, I was working full-time in real estate and I was hustling. And the few times that my business over the last like 9 or 10 years has ebbed and flowed, the times where it's ebbing and I feel like, oh my God, like the income isn't coming in. I've had to take consultancy jobs. I've had, you know, all these different ups and downs. There is this sense of like, you failed, like you didn't do it. You didn't live the dream, which isn't true because I'm obviously still in process, but it's like, I had to get to a place with myself where I'm like, the dream is not worth living if you can't pay your freaking health insurance.
Exactly.
Like, are you out of your mind? And it was like,
exactly.
This, you know, my therapist at the time actually kind of like gave me a smackdown and she was just like, you are an adult. Like, what fantasy are you living in? And I think that's one of the things that I love about you, because I feel like we somehow got trained to live in this fantasy world where we get to just pick and choose everything. And I think that there is truth to that in moments, right? But that is a freaking privilege.
Yeah.
And when we don't honor it and back it up with integrity and being in our word and all of those things that come with it and health and the giving and receiving, I love how you said that so much, because I feel like that's kind of the dance that I'm constantly in. And as I said earlier in the podcast, like, I feel like you just make things so much more tangible and easy for people to hold, like concepts that are kind of feel esoteric and in our heads, you know? So I just really love that because I feel like, you know, we're talking about the point of pain, but I feel like all of this leads us to our truth. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the truth underneath the struggle? So there's probably people listening that are, you know, maybe not spiritually bypassing and like charging too much money, but maybe they're just martyrs and they're not being fulfilled because they're giving too much and they're not taking the other part.
Totally. I think that's like, you have to break it up into your own category. So like you were saying, where you're going, well, hey, if it's on like a low period, like the amount of stress that causes when you're like a 1099 independent contractor, you know, where you don't have a consistent paycheck, like that's what models are. That's what I've been up until we started our business. It's so stressful because you don't know why is it slow, and it creates anxiety. It creates insecurity. It's like, am I doing something wrong? Like, why are these people doing more? Like, I have to pay my bills. I only have this much left. Like, so think about all of that thought space and energy, like what that's creating for you now to say like, oh, I'm supposed to now be able to have, you know, this like really balanced, healthy ability to teach when my foundation is anxious, worried, insecure, like all of these things from not having stability. And I think that that's kind of what you're talking about. So you really have to analyze like your situation to say, well, here's when I give to people or I teach people or I'm, you know, doing the things that I want to do. Here's the mind space and kind of like where I need to be in order to do that optimally. So you need to be stable. You need to be confident. You need to be clear-minded. You need to have like, you know, a situation that will foster a healthy experience in that arena. So if the other side of it is chaos, you're going to bring that energy into the positive side you're trying to create. And as we know, like that doesn't make sense. You can't have a negative foundation and expect like a positive outcome. So that's probably why you have the ups and downs, because we don't even realize like a lot of times we create it because of our insecurities and because of those things. So it's all about ease and balance, right? Like, so I think that's what I've really figured out with, let's not say don't dream big, obviously dream big, but let's hone it in a little bit. We dream so big that we like have no way of how we're going to achieve that. And then we're just telling ourselves, I'm supposed to manifest it. If I think about it, it will happen. You're like, okay, let's come back to the you're an adult conversation. Yeah. There's lots of steps that have to happen that you need to manifest first, like stability. Let's start manifesting stability so that you can have open up your creativity and the freedom to relax so that you can bring in more positive things. Like, so that's a kind of thing, you know, what makes sense about what you're saying as well, which is we focus so much on the end goal and we have no skills to get there because we're like jumping ahead 10 miles instead of being like, oh, I just need to take 5 steps right now. So I think that's like really helpful anytime you're building anything when it comes to business. And I can tell you, because we built our modeling agency with, I was the only model. I scouted every single girl we had off the street, taught them how to model. I was doing the booking because we can afford someone. And I was still working for a few clients as well. So any money I made modeling, I put back into the business. And my husband did, you know, what little accounting we had in the beginning. And I just hustled really hard. And we are on year 8, going to be 9. And we just started taking a paycheck ourselves 3 years ago. So it took 5 years of building something, you know, and getting employees with no investors. We had no money. Like it was all our started from 000. And now is what it is. But if the day I started, I was like, I'm going to be the biggest agency in the whole world and I'm going to manifest it. And I wasn't focused on like, what do I need to learn today so that eventually I can just take a paycheck for myself? Those are all the real tangible things. And when it comes to business, and we have a lot of events like, you know, female empowerment events. And I do air quotes with that too, because I've been to a lot of them and the information just is real fluff. You know, it's about like entrepreneurship. And I'm like, well, I know several female entrepreneurs. All of us have very similar experiences that were very like trying and we learned a lot from. And I've never heard anyone speak about these things at an open forum, but how do all of us have the same experience? And it comes to like women that you're working with kind of turning on you. And you're like, wait, why does no one tell me that this happens to me? I would have been better prepared. Like, how to understand like that dynamic, because if you are a woman in business, usually you're, you know, you are more of a feminist. You want to bring women in, but there's also people that attract that aren't there for the right reasons. So there's all of this stuff that we have to learn and grow and evolve. And I think just giving yourself a break and not having to have the goal of like a million Instagram followers and all of these other like pressures that don't even exist. How about just like take it down a few notches and tell yourself like you've done an amazing job so far. Where's that conversation? I think that's really helpful to just be like, okay, stop being crazy. Like we're in dreamland right now. Like, yes, that would be cool. But the reality of a lot of those things are very different. And that's something that I've, again, I just have had these weird experiences where I've seen all sides and it's allowed me to just go, I'm good. I don't, like, I would hate to be famous. That shit would suck so bad. Yeah. That people constantly coming up to you, constantly wanting stuff from you, like being doing work stuff every single day. I'm like, no, no way. I would never want that life. And it feels good to say that because it's like, you can go, I get it now. That's not even for me. I've been programmed to think that that's what I should want. I realize now that's not even a lifestyle I would enjoy. Therefore, I don't need to hold on to that anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is what it all comes back to, is learning yourself. What do you want? Who are you? And it's okay to change your mind. I've changed my mind 900 times. I've changed my website probably more than that. I get super uninspired with Healthy Zenu Skinny and I kind of take a break because I get frustrated with it. And then I'll come back and I'll be really inspired. And then sometimes that jumps over to natural and I'll be super inspired there. And you know, that's normal. And sometimes I take a break from all of it where I just don't really care. And I'm like, I'm just over this side of it and I'm going to go be creative and paint or whatever it is. So I think that that's like something that isn't talked about and you don't feel okay doing that, but we all feel that way. So I'll just validate you. If you feel super uninspired by stuff you think you're supposed to be inspired by, welcome to the club. We all feel like that. And do you feel that way too?
Oh my God.
Like you teach it and teach it and teach it. And then sometimes you're just like, I've said all this 100 times. Like I'm just bored with this whole thing now. I get it. You know,
lately what it's been for me is trying to navigate actually the balance that you talk about so much, which is the giving and then, you know, receiving and then figuring out like where to get the income from versus like where I want to just be of service. And honestly, I don't know if you ever feel this, and I really try not to go down this rabbit hole, but you know, Instagram has become such an integral part of my business and my content creation. And so sometimes I just feel discouraged because I'm like, I really loved this thing that I shared and I only share things that I really love and believe in. And then it got like no views or no likes because like the algorithm is what it is. And, you know, it's become such a, it feels like actually it's become more of a taking than a giving platform in some ways. Right. Totally. So I've been feeling that big time, but I mean, I seriously could talk to you for 5 more hours. So we're going to have you on several times this season. I'm just saying.
I'm totally down.
but one thing I want to just bring up before I, you know, let you go about your day is, as you were talking about every single thing, the word that kept coming up for me is boundaries. We've kind of touched on it in small little ways throughout, but I really want to understand, like, what do boundaries look like for you when you're so outspoken? You share so much of what you do. What comes up for you when I even say that word? Like, what are your thoughts about the word boundaries and how has your process been around creating boundaries or, you know, instilling boundaries in your life?
You know, it's interesting because like we said, for me, my personality is just like, they're naturally built in. So like, I've always just been that way. I've been like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know who the hell you think you are, but you're not hanging around me. Like, you know, I just, I've never had a problem with that.
Because a lot of women really struggle with boundaries.
Yeah, they do. But you know, it's interesting. So I was raised by a single mom. So my mom has her doctorate in brain injury and rehab. And so she worked a lot, obviously. So I was kind of like got really comfortable just like doing my own thing from a young age because I had an older brother, but obviously like he's 3 years older than me and he was 4 years ahead in school. So he was like too cool to hang out with me and whatever. So in the high school time. So I just kind of did my own thing and we moved around a lot. And I just learned that that was okay to like, just be like, I'm comfortable with my alone time. So now going into like when I'm around people, I'm also super sensitive to people's energy. And like, I can read people very quickly. That's why I know the group that I'm around where I'm like, hey, yes, let's go get lunch. Then there's other ones where I'm like, okay, I got to go. Like, you know what I mean? I can just tell.
Yes.
The ones that I'm like, these people are cool. Like, and then there's ones that are a little more intense that I have to be like, this is a boundary. But when it comes to business, I really had to set those boundaries because again, like my nature has always been, if I can do it, so can you. Like that, yeah. 'Cause that's the truth. And I just really have always been that way with people. And I did make the mistake early on with our business of being too close with people or models, or it was just more of like, I kept it like on a friendship level that yeah. I had to learn not to do that. Yeah. It's yeah. always bites you in the ass. Like, especially as you become more successful, then it's like that tide shifts and you become the reason why they're not successful in their minds. And so like, there was a lot of those tough lessons, like I was saying, that I think a lot of people listening are like going, oh my God, yes. And have like five names that they can rattle off. So I learned a lot from those experiences because when they kept happening to me, I realized I'm like, what am I doing that I'm putting myself in this position to keep happening? Because I'm obviously the other player in this. So that's where I had to analyze like, oh, I need to set a boundary that's separate when we are working closely with people that is on a business level and I don't bring them into like my personal space. Like we could still be friendly and friends, but not to where they're like in my life on that level and like in my personal, you know, space. And I had to set those boundaries with work. And I really like pulled back as the years went on. And I'm not like as close with models or just like even that personal, like I'll comment to them like on social media. And like, you know, it's just everything usually is like work related and just like supporting them that way.
Yeah.
That was like a really great shift that happened, even though some people were like, oh, well, she's closer with so-and-so. Like, because this is the yeah. situation I get in all the time. It's like, everyone's like reading into stuff that isn't there. Like, oh, she likes so-and-so and that's like this and she's this and that. And like gossip, 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 because it's all young girls. Mm-hmm. So the best thing that I could do is just like remove myself from and create that boundary, which has worked great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the double standard to that is like, if I were one, not attractive, or I was a man, no one would care. But that's not my situation. So I have a whole other set of boundaries that I have to set and kind of like stand up for myself in situations where I would want to just be more like, it's okay, no worries. You know, I have to really like hold people accountable, and that's not easy to do. So those are all lessons and boundaries that I had to set for myself. And yeah, I'm going to be 34 in February. You just feel so much more confident in addressing how you feel. And people have a very hard time when you do that. Because as women, we like to side talk and we'll go, oh no, I'm totally fine. I have no problems at all. And then we turn our head and we're like, this bitch, blah, 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 blah. You're like, I just asked you to your face and you could have like totally told me how you were feeling and we could have got cleared the air. So I think that's a learning process for all of us. And it's something that I'm really working on every day to just be more confident in communicating. Like that's the biggest boundary, is like, you have to communicate how you feel. And that's been something I've worked on. Because I have that side of me too, where I'm just like, well, F you, whatever. And I just like won't ever talk to you.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Like I can just cut people out, like no problem. I'm like, bye. So I'm really working on that instead of doing that. Be like, well, maybe we should have a conversation first before I cut you out.
No, I resonate with that. I so appreciate your perspective on it because I feel very similarly. Like I feel like my health has always forced me to have like a certain level of boundaries, like how you're yeah. saying the way you grew up was kind of like that. There was like a foundation there, but for me, it was through the lens of my health. But then there have been so many times, you know, I'm 37, I'm going to be 38 in April. And like, there's just been so many times that I've had to relearn it or learn it on a deeper level or adjust or, you know, all of those things that you're mentioning. So I think that's going to help a lot of people just to know that it's not like you create a boundary one time and then you're like set for life.
And it's not that you don't go back in old patterns too. And you're like, damn right. it, I thought I like had improved that. And then I found myself like subconsciously doing the same shit again. And like, that's what's so great about just like being kind to yourself. Like it's just going, oh man, like when you're not your worst enemy, you just recognize something and you're like, oh, well, now that you're aware of it, you give yourself an opportunity to make a change. It doesn't mean you're a horrible person. All of us, we're humans. We all fall into these patterns. So it's recognizing our patterns and then going out of kindness, how can I do that differently next time? and we're here to learn. So it's like the more open you are to learning and evolving, the more you're going to grow. And like, that's always a great thing across the spectrum of growth in life. So, but there is a really cool book I'll tell you guys about that I'm reading. Don't get distracted by the title because actually I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it. I'm like totally
blown. I'm an Audible person.
Oh my God. I'm going through so many. It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's called Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Okay. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. It's like he's a scientist. I think he does like neuroscience. But he's talking about a lot of the things, like the stories we create for ourselves. Like, and he was saying, you know, we wake up every day and we look at Instagram in bed and then we look at Facebook or we look at Twitter or whatever social media. Then maybe you check your emails real quick and then you get up and you're like,
God, that's exactly what I do.
Yes, I know. Me too. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. He's like, and then you get up and you go through your routine and maybe you take a shower and then you get dressed and you do this and you go to work and you're working with the same people. And he starts describing like, this is everyone's day. Like,
yeah,
that's what we all do. And he's like, but what you're doing is you're setting yourself like a concrete, this is who I am identity. This is my routine. And you become a very predictable person.
Ooh, no one wants to be predictable.
But we're all so predictable. Like that's what's crazy. Like Brad and I are the biggest creatures of habit. Like we'll eat at the same restaurant.
Yeah, same.
And people are like, oh my God, how can you guys do that? And we're like, because we know it's good and we love it. Like, so, but then I started really thinking about this and he's like, so when you're trying to open yourself up to have a more meaningful existence here or have kind of even these, like they call them supernatural, but just more like enlightened experiences where you're able to tap into these things and learn more and evolve like on a spirit level, how can we do that when every day the first thing we do is reinforce who we already think we are?
Whoa.
Yeah. My mind was like blown. And I was like,
and the interview with like a mic drop situation. Like, I cannot wait to get this book. I'm not even kidding. So gonna listen to, I just started Michelle Obama's book Becoming. So I'm going to listen to that. And then I'm going to listen to this.
Well, I can give you guys a whole list of really great ones that the whole point again is to just expand. It doesn't mean when you read these things that you have to agree with everything. Like we have to break out of that. We don't have to agree with everything we see or read. All it does though is make us question and it opens up our minds to new ways of thinking, to new possibilities for ourselves and for like the future lives that we would like to have. And anytime you're in that space, instead of just being like in this concrete space of trying to force things to happen as the person you are right now, do you see the difference in possibility? So I think especially creatively or in business and even in your health, there's a lot of stuff in there about how if you identify with your health as being bad and you hold on to that as your identity, you're holding on to that in your DNA as well. Like, so a lot of that was like super fascinating to me. So check it out and see if you like it. And then we'll do another podcast. Yes. We'll start a book club.
Okay. I am so down. Katie, anything you ask me to do, I'm there. Except for that Tough Mudder thing. Cause that looked really fucking hard. So
I'm so fun though.
You can go on Katie's Instagram and see her daredevil.
It was very hard, but I would totally actually be down to that. I would love to do a podcast. I just am so like, I'm not a good organizer because I'm a Pisces. So when it comes down to like having to organize people to be on it, I'm just like, nah, skip it.
Oh my God. Well, I'll just have you on my podcast once a month. And then
I'm serious. I'll totally do it.
Share all the ideas and all the books and all the things. Cause it is such a genuine pleasure. I mean, I'm going to be high off of this for at least a week, if not longer, and probably want to listen to this episode myself several times because I feel so inspired anytime I touch any piece of content that you create. So having you on the show is just awesome and such a privilege.
Thank you so much. And I'm, like I said, I'm totally down to do once a month. You just let me know.
Okay. I totally will.
Because I forgot we were even recording, if I'm being honest.
See, that's the whole key, right? Is like making it so easy and fun. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Katie, for being here on The Point of Pain. It was such a pleasure.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening in on this episode of The Point of Pain. It's always such an honor to be with you, and I hope you gained some insight on how to process pain in your life moving forward. I would absolutely love to stay connected with you. And the best way to do that is by following me over on Instagram at Nitika Chopra.
I'm constantly sharing my most tender moments, deepest insights, and letting you in on what's happening in my world over on the gram. So I hope to see you there. I'm sending you so much love and wishing you a beautiful rest of your day.